This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Today's PropTech VC Podcast, we are joined by Ori Sagi, the co-founder and CEO of Envoy. Mobility as an amenity. They have created a really cool electric car sharing service and platform. Ori, thank you for coming on the show. Very excited to learn more about your background. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you got here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. So a bit of background about myself. Originally from Israel, I moved to the US in about 2004 after a successful venture that was I was part of that was created early on, and then we kind of merged and exited a local company here. During the following years, I've been mostly entrepreneur, creating new ventures with by investing in early stage kind of ideas, but kind of really hands on kind of investor, trying to put some like work into the founder that I invested in. At some point, I transferred my focus or shifted my focus towards real estate investment. Actually, got a little bit tired of tech investment, but was always curious about where tech integrate within real estate, and kind of was really, really active in the following years between the both worlds. On one hand, investing in a lot of multifamily kind of properties. On the other hand, looking into the technologies and solutions that are kind of changed the way we kind of operate and the way the tenant kind of integrate and live within those communities. And that was always a big kind of interest to me.
How did you find juggling both hats? I found when I invested in startups, I really believe in the vision of the founder, and you don't even look at the financials because it's so hard to plan. Whereas when you're investing in real estate, you don't want to buy the vision of the broker or the seller, otherwise you're going to get taken for a ride, and it's all about the financials. Talk to me about that. Have you felt it difficult to navigate two very extreme different types of investments?
Great question. I think I took it slow. So my life is kind of, I'm a kind of a single bullet kind of guy. So I really like to understand what I'm doing. And once I commit to an effort, I kind of, that's all I do. And I'm starting from ground up. So when I was mostly in, let's say 2000 to 2000 and roughly six, I was mostly focused on tech. I was just doing mostly tech and tech related stuff. Once I shifted my mindset was all around, as you said, about the founders, it was with the founder, whether we have the chemistry by me giving him my time and maybe a little bit of money, but more so about obviously the idea, whether I understood it personally and so on. So it's absolutely correct where it's a mix of, it's more of the ability to execute the idea. I mean, first and foremost, whether you understand the idea, you understand the economics, the business model, and you believe in it, but it's one come hand in hand, as you well know, with who is actually representing and pushing the idea. So it sits a lot on the management team, and as a CEO myself now, I see and that's the third time I'm coming with an idea and pushing towards a scale and actually creating a successful venture. It's all about the team. It's all about the founders. It's all about the ability to execute, survive, and go through all the difficulties and understanding the opportunities. Once I shifted to real estate a bit, because my first kid was born in 2006, and I kind of like, as you know, tech is very time consuming and energy consuming and a lot of stress. And I'm kind of like, I got to relax a bit. And when you have a little bit of money and time, the way to relax is move towards real estate. But then as well, I didn't just start putting money into deals. I used a friend of mine who was doing a lot of real estate. He was pitching me for the previous 2 years to invest with him. And I said, sorry, I'm only doing tech. But once I decide I want to move to real estate a bit, I literally start analyzing deals for him. I start analyzing deals, putting OMs together. And it's kind of was a weird because an investor usually don't do that, right? But I want to really understand what I'm doing. And I was almost an intern at my friend's kind of place just for me to really understand, to put my hand in the dirt, as we like to say. So that helped me shift my mindset to become all of a sudden look at, as you said, the real estate as the wall, as the yield, as the income producing, look, understanding the NOI, understanding what the drivers that actually drives kind of performance to one building versus the other. And then after 2007 actually created, that led me to be introduced to one of the one of the wealthiest families here in LA. More like the big, the lot. They had a huge portfolio of real estate. He used me as his guy for tech investment. I used him as a large real estate investment, and we became friends. And at some point, I said, "Hey, the bubble is going to burst 2007. I think everything is going to crash." Everybody laughed at me, but the economics didn't make sense. And we know what happened then. And he and I created a fund called Fountain Equity Partners. And the idea was to go after what's coming as a distress options. But all this to say is, and it was actually successful. And then I continued doing my real estate ventures. But all that, my biggest belief is that once you commit to something, once you truly commit to it, and once you truly start from the beginning and grow yourself into understanding what we like to say in tech world, the product market product fit, but for your own personal market product fit, meaning you're as an entrepreneur, you truly need to understand what are the challenges, opportunity, like the SWOT analysis, but personally on what you're heading towards. And that will help me at least do that. As you said, the switch between one hat to another, but more so that helped me at some point in time around 2011, 12, understanding where I take all the technology that was involved in understanding and merge it into real estate, because now I understand both needs on both ends. And that led me to be really active in prop tech, what we like to say today, in many ways, mostly student housing and residential communities. But kind of that's how I kind of switch hats between the two.
It feels like there's many paths into real estate investing. And the dangerous path is when you come with preconceived notions from a different sector, like startup investing, and try to bring those patterns across to real estate. And I was talking to a fund manager, I would even call him a mentor. I'd invested in many of his projects. And I asked him, I don't just want to be a passive LP. I want to look, I want what you do. I want the GP stake. I want I want the carry. I want the promote. I want the acquisition fees, the management fees. It sounds very great when you look at the economics of a real estate fund manager. And so I asked him, how do I enter the space? What do I do? So, well, there's a few ways. A, you can go invest in everything you see and you'll probably lose some money because you'll make some mistakes. Or B, and you probably don't want to do this. And he was right. He read me because I was too lazy to do this. He was like, go buy your own single family rental and manage it yourself, and go buy a few of those, or go buy a fourplex, or go buy, you know, a 10 unit apartment building. And not until you realize how difficult it is when tenants call you because the toilet doesn't work, or there is a other type of issue, or they're locked out of their door, then you'll realize the ground up how difficult it is and where you can add value in real estate. And I found that to be really interesting advice, because I ended up buying a lot of real estate, and my God, you know, the challenges were just some I could never have predicted. You know, you're making decisions, and if you manage it yourself, it's one thing, but if you really need a good management team on the ground. In real estate, I think it comes down to team as well. Not the vision of what they want to do, because that costs money and you've got to validate that, right? But what the team can do. Talk to me about why you got into student housing. That's a niche in many people's view. It's a very difficult niche. Some would say, if you think your single family residential tenants are a nightmare, you haven't met students, right? Until they trash your place.
It depends. First of all, I think your mentor, your friend, it gave you a good advice. I think the idea is to, I always say to people, you know, those kind of notion that everybody's kind of putting some $50,000, $100,000 in a nice ad on whatever LinkedIn, that like, hey, have a 12%, and they never, and then they happen to lose the money, and then they cry out, can I lose the money? And I always have the same question. Did you visit the place? And they're like, what do you mean, did I visit the place? I'm like, did you spend $5,000 jumping on a plane, walking the street of the location that you're investing, touching the wall, going around, getting into a broker kind of office, asking a few questions, going to a bakery around the corner, kind of understanding why you're putting the money, and then comparing it, as my 10-year-old will do, comparing it to, this is the economics that they present to me, this is what the market is showing. It's a one-day trip, $3,000 cost, and you can save $100,000 thing. He said, no, but da, 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 da. I said, so you have to lose the money. So it's like, I think people are confusing between, I'm not a believer in shortcuts in general. I think shortcuts are kind of dangerous, both in tech and real estate. I think at the end of the day, especially in real estate, it's pretty straightforward. Like real estate is one of those things that you tend to lose money or not to make a good investment if you idolize yourself into the situation, meaning you said, oh, it's going to go up. Or, oh, like if you look at the economics, you look at the market kind of data that is really there, you analyze a little bit before and what projected to be after. And if it doesn't hit it well, you make it work. And that's kind of, so it's okay. You can fantasize over performance that you want to get to, but in reality, you need to be aware that it's might not going to happen, or you don't want to just put the time analyzing the deal, or you kind of ignore the facts. So because real estate at the end of the day is, I almost want to call it back of a napkin analysis. Like it's kind of like you look at what you're buying, and I'm not talking about sophisticated construction. I'm talking just straightforward multifamily or single family kind of investments. And we'll touch your question about the student housing in a second, but it's kind of all related to one another. At the end of the day, you have to, by the way, like you're in like angel investing, like it's the, every investment has the foundation of looking at what you're being asked to invest in, whether it's lined up with your mind, like your expertise, mindset, understanding, and kind of 2 hours of Google research about the investment, just general stuff. And then you can become more and more, the more you're professional, the more you have data, blah, 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 you know, underwriting this. But I'm saying if this is the foundation of an investment, you can do it literally from your computer by 1 or 2 hour research, understanding whether this is for you or not, or this is going to be a productive thing or not.
I think it's tremendously important to visit the location in person. It's very tempting to think you can run things remotely, especially if you come from a tech world, and especially post-pandemic, it's a lot more efficient to run teams and companies hybrid or remotely. You definitely don't want to do that with real estate. You have to go there and you have to touch the walls. And also, you don't want to go in there with a suit or a fancy clothing which basically screams to everyone you're the owner. You want to go there dressed exactly like any random tenant. You even don't want to tell people it's your property, you know. You want to ask questions. As you said, go to the bakery. I'd go around and I'd ask people, what do you think of the apartment? I'm thinking of moving there. And, you know, the honesty you hear, it's terrifying, right? Because you're hearing the truth. But it's also, it's not a PPM, a broker's prepared. It's your primary research and that's your advantage. So truly agree with you there. So tell us now about the student housing. How did you end up?
Student housing was something that always kind of curious me, because when you think about coming from tech, first of all, three things draw me into it. One, after the bubble crash, and then we kind of bought some stuff and kind of we analyzed why thing happened and what's the lowest risk like portfolio or segment that you can get into. Because of the captivity of this, like people are actually have to live somewhere, like student housing is something. If you buy, especially in secondary market, which that's what my focus, like mid income kind of places, secondary kind of schools, more of a professional school, that people really have to be in order to get a profession, right? Like be, and that's where my focus was. Arlington, Texas was that kind of, I knew Arlington in general, because I knew that city from different investments that I was somewhat around. UTA, University of Texas Arlington, is the second largest one in Texas. Dallas Cowboys opened a stadium. There's a bunch of new economical kind of things that happen in that city or around that city that made me feel that the city is going to go up in general. But the university specifically will going to grow more and more, which happens to be right. Instead of buying just market rate in this apartment building, I was focusing on UTA specifically because I believe student housing is the most out of everything is the last to get hit. That and senior housing. I didn't have any, senior housing requires much more skill and much more attention than student housing. And then I saw students as early adopters. For me, it's more the stability, the income stability and growth. And potential, we bought a lot of land and kind of tear down buildings because we wanted to look into the creative side of creating something kind of different. But the fact that you have a turnkey solution, or I call it plug and play mindset or living environment where people come with a suitcase and literally just plug their life and start running, like start having their life, that always kind of triggered me because that's where you have the early adopters for technology. That's where you can test and look at different solutions and technologies and way of living, if you will, moving away from the heavy amenitized properties, ridiculously heavy amenitized properties that if you walk around student housing, you see properties that are investing millions of dollars in tanning bed, massage rooms, I don't know, like stupid stuff that their utilization rate of those kind of places are like zero, but millions are being spent. So I saw that money is not spent correctly on the CapEx, right? You put a lot of money into the building. Students are not appreciating it, but yet they have a whole world that they need to kind of be with. So that's where you saw in technology kind of integrated. Mobility was one of the things, that's why we had Envoy, that we saw that is missing and it will be highly utilized. That's what Envoy is successfully kind of implemented and used. So in a short, sorry, I went like, but the idea is student housing for me was A, stability of income, B, opportunity to grow, C, ability to test and look into different technologies and as this early adoptive, early can adoptive kind of communities.